Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Today's reading is taken from Revelation 21 verses 1 to 4, 21 verses 22 to 27, and 22 verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Lydia, thanks so much. And evening all, great to see you, especially if we haven't met. My name's John, I'm one of the ministers here, and it'd be great to share on those words with us this evening. And as we come to do that, let's just pray together. Revelation that we've just read from begins with words of how this was a revelation given to the Apostle John to show us what will soon take place. And it says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." So, Father, we pray that you would pour your blessing on us this evening as we hear your word, that your spirit would come and speak to us, transform our hearts, and help us to live in the light of the great day that's coming. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first released as a film in 1994, which theatre production recently celebrated 25 consecutive years at the West End? Now, before you answer that, don't worry, you're not accidentally at a pub quiz. This is the evening service. It's the only question you'll have to answer this evening out loud. But I know there's some theatre people here, so any guesses? I didn't ask which theatre, although that's another level of sophistication. If you can answer that, Sharon. 25 consecutive years, which production? Phantom? No? Any advances? Lion King. The Lion King. Amazingly successful on both stage and screen. And I wonder if that's not because more than the animations, which are great in the film, and then the acting, and now the set and the costumes, it's more because it's a wonderfully compelling story. It's a classic triumph of good and evil, isn't it? So I'm guessing that there's most of us will know the story, and I'm sorry if you don't. This is spoiler alert, so you can close your ears. You've got the Lion Prince, Simba, forced into exile through the murder of his father, and then the takeover of the throne by your evil Uncle Scar. And then Simba's kind of stumbling along in a hostile environment, trying to find his way in life. Eventually, he resolves to return to the Pride Lands and reclaims his throne in great triumph. Now, the thing about a story like that is you don't want to give up in the middle. So if you go home in the interval, you're never going to see the glorious triumph, the finale, as the king returns and reclaims his rightful throne. And to some extent, that same thing is true of the Bible. Reading the Bible story without looking ahead to the end is going to leave you like leaving the Lion King halfway through. And that is why we come to this final part of our sermon series. And we've been on quite a journey through this overview of the Bible. And some of us will have been around most of these weeks. Others have joined more recently and you are exploring the Christian faith. It's great to have each one of you with us. And just to sort of try and put some of the pieces together, we've been thinking about this idea of the kingdom of God, which runs right through the Bible. This idea of the kingdom of God as God's people in God's place under his rule and therefore enjoying his blessing. And that's how it was at the beginning. So Adam and Eve, his people, in his place, the Garden of Eden, living under his perfect rule and enjoying his blessing. But their sin leads to the fall, to their being banished from his perfect place and forfeiting his blessing as they ignore his good rule. And so right at the beginning of the Bible, within its opening chapters, God promises that one day he's going to reverse the curse of creation, that one day God's people are going to again enjoy his blessing and his rule in his perfect place. And we see partial fulfillments of that through the rest of the Bible. So the people are rescued from slavery in Egypt, God's people. They're brought out of the wilderness into the promised land. And they're given his good law so that they can live under his rule and enjoy his blessing. And the people for a time enjoy his rule. It culminates in the high point of the nation under King Solomon, living under his rule, in experiencing something of his blessing. But then if you've read any of the Bible story, we see this pattern of repeated disobedience that draws them away from God. And there's this terrible but gradual moral decline. And eventually the judgment of exile as the people are banished again from the promised land. Well, 70 years later, they return with an initially great promise. We saw that when we preached through the book of Nehemiah. But there is still underlying spiritual decay that needs to be dealt with. And so the prophets speak of a Messiah who will come to restore God's kingdom. We saw that 3 weeks back. The Lord Jesus comes. He brings his people into relationship with God so that they can enjoy his good rule again. And before he ascends back to the Father, he promises them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who's been empowering the church ever since then for witness, to proclaim the gospel so that as many people as possible will submit to Jesus as King as we wait for his return. And that brings us into the book of Revelation and especially to its final two chapters. We see here the culmination of all of God's promises, his promises being fulfilled of a perfect people, a perfect place, enjoying his perfect rule and blessing. And the picture that we get in Revelation of those things is meant to help us not only just to look forward to that, but also to live well now. And so that's what we're going to see this evening, a perfected people, a perfected place, perfect rule and blessing. First, a perfected people, a perfected people. Now, I'm talking about a perfected people in two senses. First, in a moral sense, and then in the sense of the completeness of all of God's people. So first, in a moral sense, none of us are going to be perfect this side of the new creation. I'm sorry if that's news to you, but that's the way it is. And yet, the Bible speaks of this gradual growth to become more like him. That as we see more of who he is, we gradually become more like him. And we saw last week that the Bible is very clear in its teaching that there's only two destinations for each one of us. Eternal judgment, hell, or eternal life. It hinges on, do you take Jesus? Do you accept him or do you reject him? And what that means is that when he comes in his perfect and just judgment, we thought about that last week. If you want to think a bit about how is his judgment just, you can listen back to last week. But what it means is that when we come to the new creation, we find a morally perfect place, a place free from the taint of any sin. Here are some of the words from Revelation chapter 21, verse 27. Nothing impure will ever enter it. That's the new creation. Nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So a new place, a morally perfect place. And that's massive for us for two reasons. First, because it means that those who've trusted in Christ, who enter into the new creation when he returns, there is just this extraordinary promise. You will never be harmed by the sin of another again. Imagine the comfort for people in John's day. John the Apostle, who was given this revelation from God. He was given it with a people who were suffering intense persecution. And John is saying to them, look up, look towards that day when all of those troubles will be ended. When the violence, the oppression for your faith in Christ is dealt with once and for all. He's saying, look, in the new creation, nothing and no one is going to be able to harm you again. And that is true for us this evening. And for some of us, that might be particularly precious this evening. It means for you, no more betrayal. No more false accusations. No more abuse of any kind. No more emotional manipulation. Whatever wrongs might have been done to you by another, or even at the moment. And if there are and you've not spoken to them about them to someone, particularly on this Safeguarding Sunday, please do come forward. There are notice boards that show who you could come to in this church. But whatever wrong's done to you, actually, never again to be harmed by another. That is part of the promise of a morally perfect place. But it's also massive that the new creation will be morally perfect because it means that's going to be true of us as well. Not only nothing wrong ever done to us again, but also nothing wrong done by us. So just listen with me to some words from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says, you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. One of the reasons we long so much for the new creation is because this struggle with sin in ourselves is a lifelong battle. And we do see progress in becoming more like Jesus, perhaps particularly as we look back over a period of years, of months. But in the moment, that progress feels painfully slow at times. Certainly it does to me. And whatever it is for each of us, I imagine there'll be at least one area of our lives this evening for each one where it just feels really difficult to keep going. Where it feels, you're tempted just to give up the fight. Is it worth it? To fight for holiness, to be more like Jesus. We feel perhaps we've failed just too many times in that area, that perhaps it's too hard, and we're considering just giving up in that. But I want to say to us this evening, that is the voice of Satan trying to trip us up. And the voice of God wants us instead to hear that this battle with sin is absolutely worth it. He says, he will keep you going right to the end. He is faithful. And on the day that Jesus returns, you will be blameless in his sight. Not that you've been blameless in this life, not that we have, but that he will make us pure. He will complete that work he's begun in us of making us more gradually like Jesus. And on that day when he returns, fully like him, made perfect in his sight. So it's worth it to keep going in the fight with sin. That is our trajectory. That's where we're going to end up. Morally perfect. So a perfected people in that sense, morally pure, no longer ourselves struggling with sin, no longer sinned against. That is part of the promise of this perfected people. But also in another sense, we're going to be perfected in another way in the new creation, and that is as one perfected, unified family of God. You may know Genesis chapter 11 is the story of the Tower of Babel, of people at the time of a common language and speech attempting to build a tower, reaching up to the heavens to, quote, make a name for themselves. But God judges them in their pride and scatters them into different nations and languages. And in a sense, that is part of the curse of this fallen world that we've seen ever since, of the divisions of the world along racial and ethnic lines that still wreak havoc all over the world. We only need to turn on our TVs to know that's true. How often have we prayed in our intercessions in recent years? Ukraine, Gaza, Israel, many other places. But then we come to Revelation chapter 7. And John, in his vision, peels back the curtains, as it were, to show us where history is headed. And in that vision, in chapter 7, he speaks of a great multitude that no one could count from every tribe and nation and people and language, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb. It's this glorious picture of a people, one united people gathered in praise of God and the Lamb, that's the Lord Jesus. And that's why the creation, the new creation, spoken of as a holy city, the new Jerusalem. God's new creation is not going to be an isolated spot in the countryside. It's a city, a place teeming with people, enjoying perfect relationships. Now, it's picture language, yes, but it's to give us a sense. People are going to be there. People are going to be central to the new creation. It's a promise of a wonderful, multinational family of God, perfectly united in worship of the living God. John says, in fact, there will be 144,000 people there. And that's a good example of why we need to read Revelation with care. It's a symbol. Not literally 144,000 people, otherwise a lot of us will be excluded. No, a symbol to convey the message of one united people. It's a number of completeness of people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation gather around the throne. It's a glorious vision. It's a vision that we don't, in fact, need to just wait for until then. We get to start living it out here and now. One of the absolute biggest joys of being in the leadership of this church family is to see how we are growing gradually more and more into a multicultural body of believers. That is just glorious. It is a lovely picture of God's perfected people in the new creation who are going to be from every tribe and nation. But can I say to us this evening, it's also a reality that takes work. It takes sustained effort. When you come together as a church, you're doing something unlike anywhere else in society, bringing these people together from every different background. And being a church across any different type of person, across ethnicities, that works best when we get to know one another. When we take the time to understand one another, how we tick. When we understand, for example, what helps you to worship. The way you worship may be different from the way I worship, but I want to know how you are. I want to help you to worship. I want you to help me to worship. I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to see the gift that you can offer to me and the gift I can offer to you. And that is everyone's responsibility. So let me ask you this evening, particularly in this area, are you getting to know at least one other person, one other member of the church family from a different ethnic background to yours? And are you working at those relationships? That might be a good challenge for us to take from this evening, as we seek to have a foretaste here of what will be in all its glory in the new creation. So that's the first extraordinary reality that's coming for us, a perfected people, morally perfected, so keep going in the fight with sin, and perfected, a united people. And so we keep working at those cross-cultural relationships now in our life as a church. A perfected people. Next, a perfected place. A perfected place. I'm told that the Odyssey cruise ship offers you an extraordinary experience. So if you can stump up the cash, and it's no mean feat, its inaugural voyage set off last year, and there's a rolling cycle of them every 3 and a bit years, just so you know, visiting all 7 continents and over 400 destinations on a ship equipped as a super luxurious hotel. Now, I am not on commission from them, I promise. I actually tell you about it for the opposite reason, because you might have seen it on the news last year. Despite all the promise, all the fanfare, guests arrived with all their bags packed for the 3.5-year journey, the long-promised journey, only to find themselves stuck in Belfast for 4 months as the last-minute repairs dragged on and on. Now, I mean no disrespect to Belfast there. It's a lovely place, but it's not quite what was promised on the brochure. Thankfully, when it comes to it, this is not true of the promise of the new creation. Here we find this glorious promise, this promise that is exactly as it's painted to be, exactly as we read of it in Revelation chapter 21, as Lydia read for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." The new creation is going to be a perfected place. In one sense, we've seen that's going to be true because only God's perfected people, those who he has purified, will be there. All evil will be banished. That's what it means, by the way, when it says no longer any sea. For those people who love the sea, again, it's a symbol of evil and chaos in the Bible. Not necessarily saying you won't be able to go to beach in the new creation. I don't know, maybe you will. But it's a reminder, no, the new creation, totally free from any presence of sin. All of his people there, made completely new and like Jesus. And therefore, as we saw in our last point, we'll be enjoying perfect relationships with one another. We'll also be enjoying perfect relationships with God. God's dwelling place, John says, is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and will be their God. We don't meet with God anymore in the physical temple of the Old Testament. God dwells with us by his Spirit. And in his church, but nonetheless, there's still a longing within us for more than that. A longing to be completely with God, free from any restriction caused by our fallen nature and our sinfulness. And so while we have freedom to approach God now, on that day, we will know him perfectly. The Bible says we will see him as he is. There will be nothing to separate us from him. So the new creation that's coming is going to be this perfected place. There's going to be perfect relationships with God, perfect relationships with one another, and perfect because of the presence of suffering. No suffering there anymore. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And I wonder what difference that might make for you and for me now, beyond just thinking about that, but actually, what difference does it make to our hearts? And as I was wondering about that this week, I was thinking back to a man in the church where I grew up, Gareth. Gareth had lifelong severe mental and physical handicaps. He could talk to you to some degree. If you got to know him, you would be able to understand him, but not all the time. It was hard to understand. He was wheelchair bound. Life in many ways for him was really, really hard. And Gareth had every reason, from the world's point of view, to be miserable, frankly. But I tell you that Gareth's smile would light up a room. Gareth had this extraordinary, vibrant and thankful faith. And I think the reason was because he knew and he could articulate the great things that God had done in his life and the great things that God had promised. So I reckon he knew more deeply than many of us often feel these great realities. He knew that God had made him. He had made him as Gareth in his unique and precious individuality. He knew that God had remade him through faith in Christ. And he knew that God was promising him a day where he would have a new body and a new mind in a perfect new creation. I remember Gareth saying, "One day I will be the new Gareth. One day I'll be the new Gareth." He got it. And I wonder where for us this evening, where we might want to take hold of that promise of this new creation for ourselves. Perhaps for you, it's the hope of a new body. We've had a lot of hip and knee operations in this church family in the last year. And no more of those. No more cancer spreading. Again, we have brothers and sisters we need to be praying for this evening who are struggling with that. No more disabilities. Hidden ones or the visible ones. No more struggles with our body image. Which reminds us also of the hope of new minds. Perhaps for you it's a new body. Perhaps for you particularly tonight it's the promise of a new mind. From conversation in the church family, I know I'm not the only one who sometimes wishes I could just turn off my brain, like the internal monologue, the inner anxieties, the fears that can swirl around. Sometimes it feels, I don't know if to you, you know, I just wish I could turn it off and I can't. And the promise of the new creation, one day anxiety free, depression free, free from self-condemnation or despair, or the feeling that no one else quite understands what it's like to be us. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. New creation, new bodies, new minds. We've seen the promise of a perfected people, God's worldwide family from every nation, morally purified, in a perfected place, his glorious new creation. And just lastly, very briefly, because of that, we will be there enjoying God's perfect rule and blessing. His perfect rule and blessing. Chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. You see, ever since the fall, ever since Adam and Eve believed Satan's lie that God's rules were somehow not for their best and sin entered the world, we've been trying to live outside of God's rule, his perfect rule. We've forfeited his blessing when we do that. But in the new creation, the curse, that curse of the fall is reversed. A perfected people in a perfected place are enjoying God's perfect rule and blessing, just as we were made for. God and the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, they're on their rightful place, on the throne, and from that throne is flowing blessing to everyone. And until that day comes, there's a call for us now, a call for us to, as it were, live in the light of that blessing that's coming, to again be a foretaste of that blessing to those around us, to show what it looks like when you live under God's rule and blessing, what life can be like when you do that. That is one of the reasons why I'd urge you to get involved in some of the things we've been talking about this evening, as a means of being that place of blessing to others, of showing what it looks like to live under God's blessing. You can get involved in Welcome Pars or our Friday Renew Lounge or the Croydon Night Shelter or our healing rooms or all of them. Talk to Wendy, Matt, myself. We'd love to talk to you about those things. They are pictures of the blessings of God's kingdom. Yes, it's coming in all its glory, but until then, we can be a place of blessing, which points forward to that perfect day. Well, we're going to come now to look forward to this coming kingdom. Perfected people, perfected place, enjoying God's perfect rule and blessing. And we're going to do that as we take the Lord's Supper. It's a way of responding, as John does at the end of his letter, to the glory of what's coming. And to say, as it were, come Lord Jesus. Jesus said that we eat this bread and we take this cup and we remember the Lord's death until he comes again. And so that's what we're going to do this evening. And as we do so, we're echoing the final words of the Bible. As we've been on our journey through the Bible, here it's very final words. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.